So today, we're going to title this message, You Are the One He Loves. God's love story told by Hosea. You see, really, the entirety of the Bible is about God's love for humanity. And during this Easter season, there's really no better time to discover or maybe rediscover this overwhelming, extravagant love that motivated God to send his son for us. So my prayer for us this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And Paul writes this, that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Father, this morning, open our hearts, open our minds to understand this extravagant, overwhelming love that you have for us. Father, give us the ability to receive it today. And God, may it transform our lives from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to say to the person next to you, you are the one he loves. Okay, do it. You are the one he loves. Not you are the one I love. So if you're like next to this boy or whatever, yeah, okay. Yes, you are the one he loves. Well, when the staff started talking about this story of Hosea and Gomer, I have to tell you, I certainly felt hesitation. They were like, let's do it for the relationship series. And I'm like, really? This is kind of a complicated story. But you know what? Something that I think is great about Grace Hill is we don't back down from the totality of Scripture. So even if it's a little hard to understand or a little messy, a little complicated, maybe not so easy to swallow, we're going to address it anyway. We're going to talk about it anyway. So let's jump right into this story. Okay, you are going to find the book of Hosea. Has anybody ever read it? Okay, yeah. There's a book in here called Hosea. It's in the Old Testament. It's towards the end of the Old Testament after the book of Daniel. And this book was written by Hosea himself around 715 BC. Now, I want us to think back to the beginning of this year and the first series that we did in January. Anybody know what that was? Pop quiz. No? Okay, I'm just kidding. I know you probably don't because I asked a staff member and they couldn't remember, so you probably don't remember. We talked about Hezekiah and how Hezekiah made a fresh start. He was a king in the nation of Israel. And so he set about making the nation right and helping them turn their hearts back towards God. And so he cleansed the temple, he got rid of idol worship, all this kind of thing. So the reason that I'm getting into this is I want you to know that Hezekiah and Hosea were contemporaries. They lived at the same time. But something had happened in the nation of Israel. It had divided into two parts. So we had southern Israel and we had northern Israel. Now, that shouldn't be too hard to understand. I mean, after this next election, no matter which way you vote, we might have the United States and Texas, if we're lucky, right? Okay, so southern Israel, Hezekiah was the king, and the preacher or the pastor for Hezekiah was Isaiah. So you might be familiar with Isaiah. He has a pretty big book in the middle of the Old Testament. And then Jeroboam II was the king of northern Israel, and Hosea was his pastor or his prophet, whatever you want to call it. And so for as awesome and as amazing as King Hezekiah was, Jeroboam was equally as horrible. He was a horrible king, very evil. He promoted all kinds of idolatry in the nation. So it's kind of like when the preachers lined up in front of Jesus to get their assignments, Hosea drew the short straw. So in modern times, we could put it this way, just to be a little funny. Isaiah, he worked for Ronald Reagan. I think I have a picture of Brother Ronald Reagan, maybe not. And yep, Hosea, he got Fidel Castro. Okay, so do you understand the circumstances in which we find ourselves in this morning? So Hosea is called by God to speak his truth to a people that basically wouldn't listen and didn't care. In fact, historians feel like that Hosea fled to the southern kingdom with King Hezekiah in order to finish writing his book. So he was running from King Jeroboam. He didn't want to hear anything that that poor preacher had to say. So maybe we've been there a time or two. Well, let's jump right into the story and look at Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. So God tells him, go, take an adulterous wife and unfaithful children. What? He told the pastor to marry a bad girl. That doesn't really make sense to us, does it? But God is using Hosea's life as a representation. He's using him as a real life sermon illustration. And so what happens is, and you know, we can totally only speculate. We don't actually know how it went down, but so maybe Hosea's like, where can I go find me a bad girl, you know? And he goes and he finds Gomer. And so maybe Gomer had a sketchy past, and possibly the preacher thought, she marries me, it'll all work out, because I'm awesome, right? And she'll be good. Every guy thinks that. Like, I'm awesome, and we'll get married, and she'll be great. But unfortunately, that's not what happened. And almost as if it was inevitable, Gomer got restless, and she couldn't stay faithful to the famous preacher. And so chapter 2, Hosea gives a specific prophecy that his country would be completely destroyed, but God would make a way to bring them back. So mirroring God's story with Israel, Hosea's marriage to Gomer would face the same plight. Gomer, who had kind of been going back and forth, you know, she was a little unfaithful here, a little unfaithful there, but still maybe living at home some. She finally leaves for good and takes on her prostitution full time. But God would intervene. Don't you love that? But God would intervene. Think about your situations. God intervenes. So let's look at chapter 3 at what the Lord spoke to Hosea. He says this, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods. So Hosea tells us, I bought her. He says, I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and some barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. I want to think about this process for just a minute. This heart-wrenching process. God says to him, okay, go find her. Go get her. First of all, where do you go? How messy is this search? How painful is the pursuit? Men of God, a pastor, probably shouldn't be in those kinds of places. But he found her. And he bought her. She already belonged to him. But he bought her. He pays for what is already his. Now, do you see where I'm going with this? You are Gomer. I am Gomer. God did this for us. He paid for what was already his. Us. You see, in 1 John 4:10, we read this. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God created us. We were already his, but he bought us again anyway. You are the one he loves. Tell your neighbor again. You are the one he loves. You see, this day about 2,000 years ago, God was preparing for his final days on this earth. His heart was poised to make the ultimate sacrifice. He was getting ready to pay for our sins. I was reading a book over the Lent season, and I came across this, that I think that when we look at the Gospels, we tend to emphasize the divinity of God over the humanity of God. I know I definitely do. But God, Jesus, he was fully human. And as he walked toward the cross, his humanity was feeling the full impact of what was taking place. So next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And if you remember, you know, there were thousands of people and crowds, and they had the palm trees, and they were waving them as Jesus entered the city. And in his humanity, I can only wonder how he must have felt knowing he was entering Jerusalem for the last time. He was going into the city for the last time. The first time was a young boy headed to the temple to be circumcised. And now, 30 years later, he was entering the city to be crucified. It says in Luke 19:41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept. He wept. His humanity was feeling the fullness of the process he was going through. And wept, you could say, lament, to wail, to cry, to grieve. So as gut-wrenching as our prophet's search was for his wife, he did it anyway. Just as God continues to walk toward the cross, because you are the one he loves. That's powerful. That he did that for me and for you. You know, other men sought to buy Gomer to use her. But Hosea, he bought her to heal her. And let me tell you something this morning. Our Hosea has come. He has come. He sought us. He went where he shouldn't have gone. And when he found us, We were in chains. And he bought us to free us so that we could be free. This kind of love, it's called hesed love. It's the Old Testament word for God's love for his people. Now in English, we don't really have a good translation for this Hebrew word hesed. We can say mercy, loving kindness, goodness. It's all undeserved. So in Hosea, he uses it a couple of times, but in chapter 2, verse 19, he says this, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. So he uses five words for hesed. He uses forever, I guess I should say the English translators, used forever, righteousness, justice, love, and compassion. So if we look forward in the New Testament, I would say our New Testament equivalent is grace. Grace. This unexplained word of grace. So the other day I heard a new song. Well, it's probably not a new song, but I heard it at Jeremy and Cherie's wedding. And the words have just been going over and over in my mind since then. And I want to share those words with you today. There is one thing more precious than the air I breathe. Grace. Grace amazing. Grace unfailing. Grace unending. Grace unrelenting. Grace that won't let go. Grace that saves my soul. Grace that always wins. Grace. You know, no other religion knows this kind of love. No other religion experiences this type of love. It's not earned. There's nothing we can do. Hesed love, it's not dependent on our reciprocation. God just loves. He loves. So God's loving kindness is that sure love that refuses to let go. You know something? God is kind of obsessed with you. He thinks about you all the time. He's pursuing you. He's running after you. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or where you've gone. He loves you and he's pursuing you. You know, I think it's kind of unhealthy for God, right? Like if we had a friend who felt this way about some guy, we'd be like, dump him, girl. Like, walk away. Don't be chasing after him. But God, he's not like that. He just loves us. He loves us so much. Excuse me. So let's look at number three. Oh, I just said number three. So God is obsessed with you, and he refuses to let go. So how does this help us understand relationships? We just came off a series on relationships. We spent 4 weeks. Well, this story of Hosea and Gomer, it's not a book about marriage. So that's why we didn't do it on Valentine's Day. It's not really about your marriage or something that you should follow. Instead, it's a story about God's love for us. So, Pastor, last week he told us healthy relationships are very important. Healthy relationships are so important to our lives. But let me say this to you today. This relationship is the most important relationship. This relationship must be healthy. In fact, this is the only relationship you cannot live without. Or maybe I should say, you cannot die without. This relationship, your relationship with God, it is the most important thing. The most important thing. Forsake all else. Let go of everything else. But do not forsake your relationship with God. So number one, this is the greatest love story there is. If you're looking for an amazing love story, a great love story, this is your love story. You see, God doesn't just give love. He is love. Secondly, a relationship with God is the foundation for all other relationships. You see, if you get your relationship with God right, all other relationships will be better. I kind of want to say they'll be easier, but in saying they'll be easier, I'm not saying they won't be hard, right? It's just hard. But if you get your relationship with God right, suddenly you have wisdom, you have understanding, you have discernment, you have compassion, you have the ability to have healthy relationships in every other area. Number three, your value cannot be found in any other person. Your value comes from God. You see, no other person has the ability to complete you. Maybe those dating websites are selling us a little bit of a lie. Your perfect soulmate is Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the one that completes you. Only God can do that. You see, if you're looking for your spouse to complete you, or your dating relationship, or even your child to complete you, you are asking them to do something that they cannot do. They can't do it. Only God can complete you. So with this in mind, I want us to look at a verse that we know so well, but maybe look at it in a different light. And that's John 3:16. I know you've heard it. I know you've heard Tim Tebow say it. John the Baptist, he's the one who actually wrote it. And it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So there's a few words within this scripture that are so important to us today. And the first is love. He has loved extravagantly. His love is overwhelming. And the second thing is that he gave. Some of our translations maybe say sent, but I think gave is more encompassing. He freely gave. He knew that this was the best way to bring us reconciliation with him. So he gave his Son. The third word is whoever. Oh, that's a powerful word. It's a life-saving word. Whoever. Not just you, not just a certain group of people, not just those people who look like they have it all together. Whoever, he loves so much that he gave for whoever. And our fourth word today is believes. We must believe. I can't help but think about that scripture. We don't have it on the screen, but in 1 Corinthians 1:18, where Paul says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, who don't believe. But to those of us who are being saved, to those of us that are believing, it is everything. It is the very power of God. He loved us so much that he gave his son, that if we just believe, we can be with him forever." So this morning, what I want out of us is I want us to contemplate our relationship with God. Is our relationship with God the most important in our life? Or have we let other things kind of scooch in on it? And when I say other things, I don't necessarily mean bad things, but we've just let other things not be as important as our relationship with God. This must be the most important. So this morning, if I could get you to stand to your feet, two things is, first of all, if you say, "Well, you know what? I actually don't have a relationship with God. I have not asked Jesus into my heart, and I'm not so sure I'm ready." I want to invite you. We're going to sing a praise song here in a minute. The prayer room is open. There are folks already over here standing and waiting. While we're singing, if you'll just come forward, somebody will pray with you. And you can receive Jesus today. You can have that amazing connection. You can know life. You can know what it is to live. And then secondly, as we're singing, "Your love is extravagant," I want us to just think about our relationship with God. Is it where it needs to be? Let's linger a few minutes. This hasn't been an overly long message, so we have a little bit of time before we need to get out of here. Let's just soak in his presence. And through that, if you want to have someone pray with you about your relationship with God, we're here ready to do that. But just over these next few minutes, let's just cry out to God. Father, we want to know you. We want to understand your extravagant love for us today, that even though we don't deserve it, we've done nothing to deserve it, you love us anyway. Jesus, help us to just open our hearts and minds to you today.